My guest is Costa Gavras, the Greek emigre film director who's best known for his political thrillers. His 1969 film, Z, won an Academy Award for Best Foreign Film. Set in Greece, it starred Yves Montand as a liberal politician assassinated by right-wing military officers. State of Siege also starred Montand. He played a U.S. CIA officer kidnapped and murdered by a radical guerrilla group in Uruguay. Both Z and State of Siege were French productions. Costa Gavras has lived in France since the 1950s. Costa Gavras has also made several American films. Missing starred Jack Lemmon as a father who goes to Chile in search of his son, who has disappeared during a military coup. The father suspects the U.S. Embassy is participating in a cover-up. In last year's movie Betrayed, Deborah Winger played an FBI officer who falls in love with the white supremacist she's investigating. Costa Gavras has a new film called The Music Box. Jessica Lange stars as a lawyer whose father, a Hungarian immigrant, is accused of Nazi war crimes. She doesn't believe the charges and defends her father in court. Until the end of the film, we don't know if the father is guilty or not, so we don't know how to feel toward him. I asked Costa Gavras if he wanted to play with that uncertainty in the film.
Absolutely. It's essential to not know about what the end is, and I beg the viewers who have seen the movie to not tell their friends what the end is. It's like telling them the end of a tennis game, who is the winner. I think you lose some of the pleasure. Discover, like she discovered your father, like Jessica Lange, the character in the movie, discovers her father. That was really done in purpose from the very, very beginning.
Now, are you worried about that at all? I think it's actually really hard to keep the ending of a movie quiet.
I know, but, you know, I remember when I was younger, the Hitchcock movies, nobody used to say the end.
Mm-hmm.
So the thrillers, generally, it's better to not know the end. And I hope the journalists won't say the end of the on the antennas or in the articles they will write about the movie.
I remember when State of Siege was made, there were a couple of interviews with you in which you mentioned that you wanted to cast Yves Montand in the role of the American CIA agent who's held captive because you were afraid that an American actor would be a little over the top in their performance and that they'd make the CIA agent too unlikable. Now that you've been working more with American actors in your recent movies, do you still feel that way?
No, probably I had by that the time a very, let's say, one-way position. But if few actors I saw for that, I won't name them, especially one of them, would like to push the story in that direction. And he said he's a bad guy, we have to have him bad all the way down. I don't believe bad guys are bad guys all the way down. I think bad guys are great with their families, with their kids. We are very much used in the movies to see bad guys being really awful bad and having even their dogs been bad. I think the life is all different. And with Montan, we have so much collaboration. And when I told him he's someone who's doing bad things, but he's a good guy for his family. He's a good guy for even for his country because he follows a kind of policy the government or some people in the government have established, and he's executing it, and he accepted without any fear or any tentative to change it.
Well, this whole idea that bad guys aren't bad all the way through, that they're often really nice with their families, that has so much to do with your last two movies. It's one of the subjects that's raised in The Music Box, but also in Betrayed.
Sort of. You know, I remember seeing a movie on Hitler in his mountain house with the children and with his dog, and the movie was made in color, which was very unusual at the time. And Hitler looks so great person, and he laughs with his friends around of him. He's very good with the children. So I insist strongly and heavily, bad guys are not bad all the way down to everybody.
Now, how does that influence your casting? Like in some kinds of movies, the bad guys have to be physically unattractive. Do you know what I mean? So you could tell
absolutely,
the good guy from the bad
absolutely.
Guy?
Absolutely. When they cast, generally we used to look like guys like Jack Palance or, you know. That
right,
guy,
right, you know, exactly.
Which is also very fake.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a whole period in the movies in which we overdo it with in that direction. I mean, the bad guys were, as I was saying before, really bad. They have a bad face, they have a bad hands, everything was ugly, and like if the appearance could change, could be as ugly as the soul or the brain. I think those things are not going together. With that idea in the head, we should say all the handsome guys and girls are beautiful people.
Has it been difficult for you to start directing American movies because of any cultural differences, also because of the language? I don't know how quickly you felt acclimated to directing in English and working with the kind of English colloquialisms that end up in movies.
That's not really the problem. The problem is to know that country, to have the time to stay more and travel around and see the people and speak with the people. I think the language and the colloquialisms and also the playing the language by the actors and understanding if it's a good or bad, it's not really a problem. I think for the acting, for me, it's a kind of music. If the music sounds okay, it's good. If it doesn't sound, it's like in a partition with notes. The problem for me is to stay in the country. So I did so since now 10 years. I spent a lot of time. I went around. I traveled. I saw a lot of people. So I have the feeling I know a little bit better than before, because in the early 70s, they asked me several times to make movies here, and I just refused because I didn't know the country.
So what have you done to try to get more of a grasp of American culture?
Oh, to go deeper to the country. For example, when I did Betrayed, mm-hmm. I went around the country. I traveled in several states. I went to Nebraska, to Idaho, to Montana, and I asked to visit farms. I asked to speak with farmers, to see people from closer. And I have another way also of doing it. I asked to my assistants to find television, local televisions and the national televisions, shows, tapes, with interviews and on the people. And all those elements permit me to have a kind of image. I'm not saying this is the right image. This is the exactly, I have the perfect image. But this is a little bit my opinion on what I'm seeing and my point of view. And for every director, he has a point of view and he expresses his own point of view. Sometimes it's right, sometimes it's not.
Mm-hmm. Film director Costa Gavras is my guest. His new movie is called The Music Box, and it stars Jessica Lange. I think several of your movies have been, in a way, about how fascism is manifested in different cultures. Can I ask what your first exposure to fascism was? Was it during World War II?
I prefer to speak about intolerance in my movies.
Oh, okay, as opposed to a more political...
It's supposed to be more precise, probably, or more vague, because fascism, it refers to a special regime like the Hitler's regime or the extreme right wing. I think sometimes the extreme left also, it has also his intolerance.
Mm-hmm.
And I did some movies on that too. So, yes, I was exposed in intolerance, and I sometimes we all are exposed in intolerance every day around of us.
But what was the first manifestation of political intolerance that you experienced?
Oh, it was when I was in Greece during the civil war after the First World War. And the intolerance was everywhere, in every corner, in the schools. For example, I couldn't go to the university because my father was considered as being a leftist because he had fought against the Germans. And I couldn't go to the university. I had to go to France. I mean, it was one of the small elements of intolerance. And by the time you could live every day intolerance, only everyday's life.
Now your father was a Russian immigrant who moved...
My family is coming from Russia. My father is there in Greece for years now, for several years.
Mm-hmm.
And he fought with the left-wing people against Germans during the German occupation. And all those guys after the liberation were considered as being communists. So they have been jailed, they lost their jobs, and for years they have a lot of problems. The kids couldn't go to the schools, to the university essentially, because their fathers have been considered as communists.
Was there any other direct effects that your father's status as a political outcast had on you when you were growing up?
Oh, I don't have really personal memories, but it was everywhere. There was no any free speech. There was no any free newspapers. There was no. The police were everywhere. You have to have in your house, for example, a list with the people who are sleeping in the house. And if a cousin or a friend was coming to spend the evening with you, you have to go to the police because we didn't have a telephone to call them. We have to go to the police and to tell them that my cousin is coming today to sleep at home. If you didn't do it, you go to the jail next day.
Was it because you weren't allowed to go to a university in Greece that you decided to go to France and to attend the Sorbonne?
No, I couldn't go because my father's passed. I couldn't go to the university in Greece, so I decided to go to France.
Mm-hmm.
And as we were a poor family, I have to work also just to be able to. But fortunately, the French universities are all free. There's a lot of help. There used to be and still is help for the students. There's dormitories in not very expensive. There are restaurants, so forth. So, and I was able to make studies without needing a lot of money.
You studied filmmaking in France.
That's right.
And I think, you know, early on in your film career, you started to make political movies, movies with a political narrative theme. Were you ever politically active yourself? Were you ever a student activist or identified with any movement?
Not really, but let me tell you first that I don't consider my movies, I think all the movies are political movies. So people are characterized, my movies only being political. I think every movie has a political contain. Every movie carries the philosophy and the political feelings of the persons who are doing it, the director, the writer, or both of them, and so forth. So my to ask directly to your question, my past, no, I never was affiliated to a party or to a political movement. I took positions, as most of the students did at the time, for example, against the war of Algeria, which de Gaulle was doing at the beginning. And then when de Gaulle did some good things, I was for de Gaulle. So essentially always try not to just be member of an ideology of a party, but to try to judge the governments or the parties from what they were doing. I think today the person I if you ask me for whom I vote in France, I vote for Mitterrand. I think it's the best candidate we have, and it's the best president we have,
mm-hmm.
we could have.
You started studying filmmaking in France at, I guess, about the time of the French New Wave. Now, the style of the French New Wave was really influenced by American genre films, gangster movies, westerns. Were you interested in pursuing that sensibility at all when you were starting off as a young filmmaker?
The New Wave, it's probably larger than that. The New Wave is a kind of revolution in the French cinema, which was after the war without any major change. So young people decided to get rid of the old directors who were doing the movies in a very traditional way with big crews, with big cameras and so forth. At the same time, they have the possibility to use smaller cameras and very fast stock, which they could shoot outside without so much light. So the techniques helped that new movement to do new movies. And those movies were much less expensive than the other ones. And every young man was enough to have a good story and a couple of actors accepting to play in this story. And they were doing the movies. So there was really a fundamental change for the French and the European cinema. I get into the movies. I was by then assistant to director, and I started doing my first movie just at the very end of the movement, when the movement somehow was, let's say, exhausted, and have proved all they have, it had to prove, and probably some of the new wave directors started doing the movies in a traditional way by the time.
Mm-hmm. The first movie that you made that I think the first movie that you made that actually got shown in America at many movie houses was Z.
No, my first movie was Sleeping Car Murder.
But was that shown in the States?
That's right.
Oh, okay.
Z was quite the third movie. My first movie was Sleeping Car Murders, and it was really very, very well received. It was also put in a list among the 10 best of the year.
I see, okay. A movie like Z was very unusual in that it was a political film, it was a foreign film, and it was also a box office hit. And this was during a period when a lot of people wouldn't even go to see foreign movies because they didn't want to read subtitles in America. Did you have any ideas of why your film ended up being as successful as it did? Because I think it really went against the grain in terms of what was popular at the time, what was selling at the time.
This is a very tough question. I really don't know. It was a big surprise to us because we spent with my producer and more than 1 year trying to find the money to make the movie, and everybody was refusing. Most of the American companies based in Paris refused to make the movie. And so we insisted, we did all of us, actors and myself, the movie without being paid. And we were so surprised to see the success of the movie. And I was surprised to see the movie being shown in small towns in the United States with subtitles and having a big success. So this is a mystery. This is a mystery why. Probably it's linked to the period, to the theme, I don't know. Really, I don't know. Jean Cocteau, you probably know who he was. It's French poet. He used to say, there is rules for the success of the movies, but we don't know them.
That seems very accurate. Yeah. Were there ever any reprisals against your family in Greece after Z came out?
No, I think they went home. They sent some people in home, and they were very aggressive, and I had a very strong mother. So she threw them out very aggressively and physically, and she said, if you need them, go to have them. He's in Paris. Here, you don't have anything to do. And they were old people, so they didn't really touch them. They didn't insist.
Now, what was the government like in Greece when Z came out?
Oh, God, it was the militaries, very aggressive, and I learned much later that we have 3 or 4 people to be on a blacklist to be assassinated or something like this. I don't know if it's truth or not, but I was told that because of Z and some other people, because of these songs and other people's before the statements they were making against them.
And you were never concerned? Let me put it this way. You never thought twice about making the movie out of fear that you or someone in your family would be hurt?
I told my family what I was making. So the father said, "Okay, go and do it. That's your story. We are here. We see how we face it if they will be against us." And since the movie became a big success, they couldn't touch them, of course.
Did you ever want to return to Greece and live there, make movies there?
No, because I left very young, and probably I will return to make movies, but not stay there all my time. I like to go there to see friends, to see my family, and have some vacation. It's a great place for that. But I'm so much taken with France, and my family is French now.
Mm-hmm. Film director Costa Gavras is my guest, and his new movie is called The Music Box. Have you run into much censorship in different countries, censorship of your movies?
Oh, yes. I think half of the countries... In half of the countries in the world, my movies weren't shown. Of course, when the regime's changing, my movies are shown. And let's say, for example, in the Eastern countries, my movies weren't shown, even Z. So I hope now they will be shown.
Mm-hmm. Your mother was Greek Orthodox and very religious. I was wondering if you were religious when you were growing up and if you are now.
Yes, I was. But very young, I started thinking, and I had a lot of disappointments. And I have a really negative relationship and discussion with God, and when he was accepting to be done, so I stay away. I'm away. I don't believe anymore. I'm agnostic.
Ah, okay.
And I don't like the way God is used either by a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. You think a lot of people are self-serving? Self-serving in their
money,
use of their religion.
Yeah, saying faith things, it's insane.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what your next movie will be?
Really not. Really not.
There's been periods during your career when you've gone around 4 years without making a movie. Was that because you didn't want to, or because you couldn't find a script that you liked, or was it hard getting work then?
No, it's essentially because I didn't have the script I would like to. A director and myself, I have four ideas and directions in my head, and I would like to find stories to speak about those directions and ideas. And if I don't find them, I won't do a movie, which is in a completely different way. And if I don't feel concerned, humanly and historically, as you say, politically also, of course. Ideologically, I would say, if not philosophically.
Do you get sent a lot of screenplays that people assume will be right up your alley that you, in fact, don't like?
I receive a lot of scripts. After the year, I received hundreds of scripts on political assassinations. And then after Betrayed, after Missing, I received a lot of scripts on missing people and that kind of stories. And then I think people think, as I'm doing one story, I am ready to do the same story in different aspects. I'm trying to do different every time, which is not so easy. And sometimes the reason for what I can stay 2 or 3 years without doing anything.
Right. Well, I wish you the best with the new movie, and I thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you very much.